I hope everybody's had a great day. I'm looking forward to the next few minutes, and I hope that you are looking forward to it, even if you're one of those that's looking forward to me doing it and getting it over with. But thank you for coming, and thank you for the possibility of us spending a few minutes thinking about God's Word. Someone asked me, and I've been asked several times, do you think Billy Smith really knows you? And I said, wow, we've been together over 30 plus years, and I don't think there's hardly anything about me that Billy Smith doesn't know. But Billy, I think I'm going to tell a story you have not heard. I was thinking, as I was thinking about this text, I didn't have a dad to disappoint growing up, but I had an unthinkably great mama. And man, I disappointed her every now and then. And the story I'm about to tell, some of you who know me now, you're going to think, yeah, you were really not that naive. You knew what you were doing. But in elementary school, one day, I had two or three coins. I almost never had any money. Took my lunch to school many days. And on this day, there were two or three boys, and they had learned how to play a game that I later learned was gambling. They played the game of flipping coins, and they would get the coin down there, and if you had three guys, and two of them had heads, and one of them had a tail, the one that had the odd coin got all the money. Well, I didn't know anything about that as gambling, and I told Billy the story one time about my next-door neighbor who was a year younger than I, but a year older. I mean, he was a year younger, but a year bigger. I was a little bitty squirt. And we would play basketball in his yard every day, just about. And I would always beat him. And he would get so frustrated, I would throw the ball up there, and it would just hang on the rim, and it'd fall in. And one day, he was so frustrated, he said, "Boy, the ball just goes through the hoop for you every time." Now, Billy heard me tell that story, and every time something good happens to me, Billy will say, "Well, the ball went through the hoop for Roy Boy again." Well, on this occasion, Billy, the ball went through the hoop. I stood there flipping coins for these guys, and I'd take that money and put it in my pocket. I'd flip a coin, I'd take their money and put it in my pocket, and before long, I had more money than I knew existed in the world just about there early elementary school. I just thought we were playing a game, and I was having fun. Now, I noticed they weren't having quite as much fun. But I went on to class, had my pocket full of money, and I heard a knock on the classroom door. And I heard one of the high school students that worked in the office say, "Is Roy Sharp in here?" And of course, the teacher said, "Well, yes, he is. And the principal would like to see him." And so I got called to the office. And in that call to the office, he asked me if I had been flipping for coins with these guys. And I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Well, have you got any money?" Well, what had happened, and the reason I got told on that day, was one of those boys had his lunch money and his sister's lunch money, and he lost it all to me, and his sister told on him and got us all in trouble. Well, you think my mom was disappointed in me? Do you think for a minute, had I known that was wrong in gambling, that I would have said, "Hey, Mom, guess what I did? Guess what I won today?" I wouldn't have said that for the world. She would have beaten me to death on the spot. I would not have done anything like that in the presence of my mom. But you know what I've done over and over again in the presence of God? I've been so bold as to say, "I know I should not say this, but," and boy, I would let it fly right in the presence of God. Not thinking about being in the presence of God. There have been things I've done I knew better than to do. I should not do them. I did them over and over again sometimes. And I would say to God by my actions, not because I wanted to say, "Hey, God, look at what I'm doing." But I would say to God, "Listen, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm not going to listen to you today. I'm going to do what I want to." I would have never said that to my mom, let me tell you. But I would say it to God. How disappointed my mom was when she knew of those things that were wrong that I did. But I would go through life not thinking how disappointed God was Well, in this story, we learn about the disappointment of God when we behave in sinful ways. If you go back to chapter 32, you're going to see a beautiful golden calf. Very expensive. Wow, there's no telling how much that thing was worth in terms of money. And these people of God, God's chosen people, a kingdom of priests they're going to be. What a great nation he was going to make of them, a special people for his own possession. Can you imagine? And now in his presence, he's right on the mountain with Moses. And here they make this golden calf. How disappointed God was. We don't have to guess about that. Moses is in the presence of God, and God is angry. He's so angry with the children of God. But several times in this book and in other places as well, Moses becomes a beggar. What a great guy. We read about Moses being the meekest man in all the earth. The word gentle sometimes is used in translation, but if you read the definition of that word, several places will tell you that it is strength under control. It's like you take a big horse and you put a bridle on it with a bit in its mouth, and you can lead that horse and control that horse. That's what meekness is about. God can put a bridle in the mouth of a meek person, if you will let me think about that in that way. And he can control that person. God will lead and guide because the person is willing to be guided by God's will and God's way. Well, the people of Israel would not on this occasion. And now God is angry with the children of Israel, and Moses is going to be a beggar. He's going to beg. He's going to beg God because God is so angry with these people, these stiff-necked people. Have you ever had a stiff neck? You know, you can't just turn your neck any way you want to. If you've got a stiff neck, it won't move. These people would not move from their will. God wanted them to turn to his will and live his way, do his thing. But these people were doing what they wanted to in the way that they wanted. And they needed something they could see, something they could touch, something they could feel. And so they had a golden calf. These stiff-necked people made God angry. Oh, he was so disappointed with them. God is telling Moses, I want you to lead these people into the land of Canaan. But let me tell you, I'm not going with them. If I go with them, I'll consume them. I'll destroy them. I can't take the way they're living. Have you ever thought? Now, I'm guessing that you have been like I have been. You've disappointed God. And you knew it. Would you like to go through the rest of your life without the presence of God? You'd be gone from this world. Because it's only because God blesses us with life. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Anything good that you have would be gone without the presence of God. God says, you take these people on into Israel, into Canaan, but I'm not going with you because I would destroy them. I would consume them. I want to share with you again verse 13 and then part of verse 15. And here, Moses is speaking to God, and he says, if I have found favor in your sight. And in verses 12 through 16, the word grace is used in the New King James that you saw on the screen instead of favor. Same word, same thing, same meaning. It's something that you just don't deserve. Moses is saying, listen, if I have found grace, something that I don't deserve in your sight, now, let me tell you what I need. I don't deserve it. It's not about me earning what I'm about to ask you. I am asking you if I have found a place in your heart and in your life that you'll give me what I need in spite of me, in spite of these people. And so he says, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways. that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider that too. This nation is your people. One of the interesting things about reading this story is when God talks to Moses, sometimes he will say, Moses, your people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt have violated my will. And Moses would say, now wait a minute, God, they are your people. Neither one of them wanted these people. They were such a tremendous burden to Moses, and they were such an unthinkable disappointment to God. So God said, I'm not going to go with you. Moses begs. God says he's going to go, but look at verse 15. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I don't want to go anywhere away from this mountain without you, God. Don't want to go to school tomorrow without God. I'm going to turn loose of God and leave here tonight. All of this stuff that goes on here might be just the most boring stuff in the world. You want to go to school without God? You folks out here that have jobs, you want to go to work without God tomorrow? And we have a bunch of college students back here, and I know they're all over the place. Y'all want to go to class tomorrow without God? Moses didn't want to go anywhere without God. Don't bring us up from here unless you're going with us. Everybody in this room, and especially your speaker, needs to be begging God tonight. Please don't let me go anywhere without you. And so Moses, in these verses, is begging God. He begs, first of all, for God's guidance. Please show me now. I see what these people have done. I know they took that gold and they made a golden calf. I know they worshiped. I know how they rose up to play and the sins they committed. I know that. Show me now your way. I don't know what's on your mind tonight. I know there's some people in here with burdens. We talked about serious sickness today. We've talked about death today. There's some burdened hearts right here in this room. But right here is what you need to be begging God for. Please, God, show me now. Right tonight, open my eyes, open my heart, open my will to your way. Show me now your way. We need God's way. The psalmist knew that in chapter 25 and verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Where are you going to go when you leave here tonight? When you get up in the morning, where are you going to go? Will you be thinking about begging God to show you his way, show you his path? It is so important for us to see the pathway of God, like Moses was begging here. He needed God's guidance. Every one of us needs God's guidance. And in the process, he's begging for God's friendship, that I may know you. Can I tell you this? If you get up where you're sitting right now, and you walk out any one of these doors and go in any direction you want to, whether it's to school or to work, or if you're retired and you stay home, you go do whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow. Unless you walk in the pathways of God, you will not know God. Because the way we know God is by discovering his will, his way. God isn't talking about a way like Highway 45 to Jackson, or Highway 100 toward Whiteville, or Highway 100 toward Jack's Creek. He's talking about a way of life, a pathway of life. How are you living life? Unless you find God's way, unless you live God's way, you will not know God. Show me your paths that I may know you. Boy, if we could ever come to be like the Apostle Paul, and you may be there. My prayer is that you are. But the Apostle Paul had traveled a different way than God would have him travel, but God reined him in. He too was quite a meek individual. He had power unbelievable of all kinds, but he got it under the control of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, what a great statement about the Apostle Paul. There are several of them. But in verse 10, he has counted all of the riches he had in this world, all of the positions he has in this world, anything that was of any value in this world, he counted all of those things but loss. They are meaningless. Here's what's meaningful to him: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You see, if you're going to be like Christ, if you're going to walk in his path and you're going to get to know him, you are going to understand how powerful his resurrection was. Because you see, it is only because of that resurrection that you can get in a pool of water like this and be buried with him and raised with him in the power of his resurrection to overcome death. You will never have to die spiritual death if you recognize his way, know him, and understand the power of his resurrection. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to understand you've got to share in his death. You've got to be separated from sin. That's how we share in his death. We can't do it on our own. We have to know him. And the way we know him is to walk in his path. So I'm telling you tonight, if you read what God requires of you to become a Christian and you're saying, I don't really need that. Yes, you do. Because that's walking in his pathway, not yours. And it's coming to know God and know what God wants from you and expects of you. And when you stop the sin that is in your life, that's what repentance is all about. It's turning around and doing better and being different. And unless you do that, you can't know what it's like to be dead. Dead unto sin, alive unto Christ. That's what we have when we walk in the paths that God has designed for us and we come to know him. Four times in verses 12 through 16, favor, grace, is used. Four times. Moses did not want to live without God's grace. Do you want to get what you deserve in life? I've thought several times in life, there were times when I thought, I should have gotten that award. I should have been able to speak there. I should have been able to do this. And I didn't get to do it. And my feelings were hurt because I didn't get what I thought I deserved or what I should have gotten. You ever felt that way? There were 9 of us kids. I actually thought sometimes that my mom let them have some things that she should have let me have. Hurt my feelings. Hurts our feelings when we think we deserve something and we don't get it. There are people in this world who think they deserve salvation from God without walking in his path, without knowing him. Because you see, when you don't walk in the paths of God and you don't come to know him, there is no grace. He wants to walk in God's paths. He wants to know him so that he can find grace or favor in God's sight. Paul understood a lot about grace. Maybe Paul writes more about grace than any other New Testament writer. He certainly has the opportunity to do so with all the writing that he did. The law came in to increase the trespass. You see, the law had come in. These people knew the law of God. The law that Moses received, God wrote them with his own finger on tables of stone. Moses brought them down from the mountain. Moses is going to have a chance to put them in a special box that we call the Ark of the Covenant. And those people are going to carry those messages with them everywhere they go. They know the law. But when God said, you can't do this, and they knew it, and they did it, it was sin. Sin increased the trespass. But what God did for us was increase the amount of grace. There's not a person in this room who has done anything but that God will take care of it if we walk in His paths and we know Him. His grace is sufficient to cover anything that you have. Paul found that out in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. When you start reading Paul's perils, all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, you would think if there were any pride in him, he would be saying, well, surely, since I have done all of these things in light of all the problems that have come my way, God would really bless me. I'd be a big, good-looking guy. I would have a great voice. I would be able to just do anything that I want to. Everybody would think, wow, what a guy. But that's not what you read about the Apostle Paul. Apparently, he was not all that attractive. Apparently, he was not a great speaker. And apparently, he had something the text calls a thorn in the flesh. We don't have a clue, really, what it is. But something was wrong. What is up with that, God? I'd be wanting to say, if I'm willing to do all of this for you, why would I have to carry this thorn in the flesh and be who I am and what I am and still have to bear this? God said, you go do what I ask. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace was sufficient for the Apostle Paul. It's sufficient for Roy Sharp. It is sufficient for you. Moses is begging God four times in these few verses for the grace of God. But you see, the grace of God is not easy. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation, that's what we want, isn't it? But it teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then we've got to look for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's hard work when that grace of God appears to you in real life. Not what you think God's grace is going to be and going to do, but what God says it is. Moses begged for God's grace. But he begged for God's presence. Your presence will not go with me. Don't bring me up from here. Moses told God several times, I can't bear the pressure of these people. Can't bear the pressure of these people by myself. God's grace is going to come to him. He's going to bring 70 of the elders to the door of the tabernacle. God is going to put a measure of spirit upon them, and they're going to help Moses with these people on this great journey that's about to take place as they leave Mount Sinai. My greatest prayer tonight is that none of us we want to leave this place. I'm talking about wherever you go tonight, whatever you do, I am praying that none of us will want to leave if God doesn't go with us. But we have to choose for God to go with us. Moses is begging God, you be present with me. Remember this great passage from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. It's your rod. It's your staff that comforts me. When God goes with us, God's grace goes with us. But there's no promise of that unless we find a pathway, that way to live life that God has ordered for us. Unless we come to know God, and we can't know God without walking in those paths. When we start thinking about the blessings that we have, God is with us. And then the last slide, if it were to be up there, it would say God's promise. God's promise is, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Got any turmoil going on in your heart? Maybe it's because of life circumstances. Maybe about the accidents that we talked about today, the heart attack we talked about, the fall we talked about. It may be any number of things that are happening in your life. There's turmoil and you need some rest. Wouldn't it be great just to have peace of mind and peace of heart? I've thought a lot of times since I've gotten older, what an unthinkable blessing it would be if I could take off on a vacation and have no more pressure than I had when I was about 13 or 14 years old. No worries that I have in my heart and in my life now. Wouldn't that be neat? God offers us that opportunity. Offers it to you tonight. If sin has cluttered your life and you want to get rid of it, you want some rest, you want some peace, walk in the pathway of God. You seek God's forgiveness. You seek the forgiveness of people. You can do that tonight with a public response if you need to. If you've never been baptized into Christ and you know you need to be, you can walk that path of God tonight and you will be closer to knowing God because of what you're going to do that is His will. And then when you walk in His paths and you come to know Him and you receive His grace, it won't be because you deserve it. It will be because He loves you. And He wants you to be His faithful. And so if you need to walk in that path, know God, and receive His grace, we hope you'll respond tonight if you need to, as we stand and as we sing.